This is Jonathan Grimes, and I'm here in the Contemporary Music Centre Library with composer Roger Doyle. Roger, congratulations on reaching 60. Tell me about some of the events planned to mark this important milestone.
Well, in a sense, you're the best person because the Contemporary Music Centre has done me the honour of honouring me and is organising a series of events in and outside of the building of the Contemporary Music Centre here in 19 Fishamble Street. One part of it is at the front railings there's going to be loudspeakers on different days of the week for 10 days during the daytime. My music will be playing out into the street during the length of Dublin Electronic Arts Festival. That's from the 22nd of this month, October, till was it the 31st or so?
Yes.
31st. And inside the Contemporary Music Centre, in the courtyard, are more speakers with more a more intimate kind of experience for some of my more contemplative pieces.
And perhaps you might describe a little bit more for the visitors some of the work that they'll hear as part of that. Because it's from work that you've produced over the last 30 years or so.
Yeah, well, I'm a totally schizophrenic composer, only in the musical sense, I must stress, in that there's going to be a full day of piano music off CD. There'll be a full day of an imaginary, fictitious radio station that I invented for a project called Babel. Then there'll be and that's with DJs and ads and traffic reports and everything, completely fake, but the average passerby mightn't realize that immediately. There'll be a full day then of work I did on one of the earliest computer synthesizers, the Fairlight computer music instrument from the early to mid 1980s. And then there'll be a full day then of newer works from my last CD, called Cool Steel Army. Is that's all the outside stuff? Is that I think that's it.
I'm operating theatre.
Oh yes, and then yes, a full day then of kind of 80s synth pop, I guess, from when myself and Alwyn Fuere formed a theatre company called Operating Theatre, and from the early days, yes, 81 to 86, music from that period. So you know, if anyone thinks they know what the Roger Doyle experience is like from hearing a couple of works of mine, they are mistaken, because there are 100 Roger Doyles.
Another event that's marking your 60th birthday is also the Crash Ensemble's concert on the 25th of October in Project Arts Centre. And that's a concert of your works, and it also includes a new work specially composed for the occasion. Can you tell me a little bit about the concert and that new work in particular?
So at that concert will be a smattering of works from the 90s. And yeah, I think it doesn't go earlier than the 90s. Yeah, bits and pieces from the 90s. And two pieces played by the Crash Ensemble. One piece from 91 and a brand new piece called The Room in the Tower, which I was able to compose from a grant from the... A project grant from the Arts Council. It's taken me 10 months to work on this piece.
So this piece, The Room in the Tower, is obviously quite a significant work, given that it's taking you 10 months to write it, which is presumably for you is quite a long period of time to work on a piece. But it is a big work. It is a major work.
Yeah, it's a new way. Well, I don't know how new it is. Maybe it is new. I've always wanted to find ways of presenting works where there's a large recorded element in them. You know, from the early days of the 70s, it was always a problem of staring at two loudspeakers for electronic music. So this is a way. I've always wanted to have live instruments and pre-recorded stuff. And this is what I'm calling a cinema for the ear, where I commissioned a script from Carlo Gabler. I auditioned actors, recorded them, because of my long experience in theatre, I did finally pick up a few things about I even acted myself for a number of years. So what you experience is what the audience experience is live musicians lit only by their music stands, and what they hear is a movie with no screen. So you'll hear fully. It's a horror story. It's a vampire story, and I won't tell you, but there's a moment in it where something extraordinary happens, apart from the live musicians and the lights low, and you hear a movie. So the musicians are lit only by their music stands, and the audience are imagine they're at the movies.
And the time of the year is appropriate. Is that a coincidence?
Yeah, it's just sheer coincidence. It's absolute coincidence. It's a perfect week for it. Yeah.
Great. And this notion of the cinema for the ear that you mentioned seems to be a theme in your recent work. What is it about this approach that interests you?
It goes back to my Babel project. I mentioned this fake radio station earlier on, which is from Babel. Babel is a huge, it was a 5-CD set that I brought out 10 years ago, and that took me 10 years to work on. So big projects I tend to gravitate towards, or they gravitate towards me. But one part of Babel was an unrealized part. So we had the fake radio station, and I had 2 hours of that in Babel. But we had in Babel we had an imaginary movie, and you heard scenes acted out, which I added music to. It was only about 3 minutes. So it's something I've always wanted to do. Since I finished Babel, if I have a fake radio station, why can't I have a fake cinema as well? And how appropriate that this piece is called The Room in the Tower, because it could very well be part of my Babel project in retrospect. I have done one other one. Last year I did Adolf Gabler, clarinetist, and that was with the RTE National Symphony Orchestra, where members of the public, or 800 of them, won a lunchtime in the Horizon series last year, experienced live symphony orchestra and the pre-recorded acted scenes coming out of the side speakers with the lowered lights. It was quite something.
Yes, and do you see yourself, you say that you gravitate towards big projects, and you know, it seems to me that looking back over your works, you've got ideas, or you've latched on to a particular idea or an approach, and that you would sort of develop it. Do you see with this particular approach more works being composed using it?
I don't know. I keep thinking the big projects are over. I think I was talking to you actually several years ago, and you were saying, are you any more big projects? And I said, no, probably not. But then, you know, I've done 2 45-minute cinema for the year pieces, and am I going to do any more? Who knows? But it's probably, I think it probably comes from a gradual confidence as the years go by. You know, I've been very grateful and lucky to have been elected to Ace Donna early enough in my career, so that it did make a real and profound positive influence. I was able to devote myself entirely to just composing 8 days a week, 10 days, I mean, it's 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day, whatever,
yeah.
Non-stop. I mean, I compose all the time. Not many people have the time to do that. And I believe that when you have the time to do that, you become more secure in your abilities. And also maybe you get a little bit arrogant. And I think you need to be a bit arrogant to do these big projects. So it's a little bit of like the biblical story of the Tower of Babel. There's probably a bit of hubris in there somewhere too.
So how important is it for you as a composer to get recognition on this level for your achievements and contribution to new music? I mean, these events around your 60th birthday celebration.
For me, very important. I've said for years, you know, when asked, is there anything, you know, what's the most important thing that a composer needs? I think it's recognition, because you've done the work. I, you know, never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be able to do the work that I have done. So that's a lovely, a great feeling to feel that. I'm not a frustrated artist, but the frustration does come sometimes in the recognition. You think, you know, hey, where's the recognition? I mean, not that you're out, not that you're doing it for recognition, but it does, there comes a time when you think, have they noticed this? Have my abilities been spotted by anybody? Or as James Joyce once famously said, does anybody understand me? So this is marvelous. You know, I love this recognition, and I think not only for me, but any person who's been working this long and this hard really needs and deserves some kind of recognition like this.
So musical life must be very different now compared to when you were starting out as a composer in the 1970s. What would you say the main changes, positive or negative, have been, and how have they impacted on your work?
I think the best main change is that technology, evolving technology, should I say, yeah, evolving technology has been integrated into musical thought. And you know, proof of that is all the courses that are in all the universities at third and second level now. And in fact, I teach on one of them in Trinity. So the acceptance that there is a valuable contribution that technology, or the interface between technology and music, you know, for years I was always fighting a kind of rear guard action. If I was being interviewed in the 70s and 80s, it was always, you know, don't you get carried away by this technology, or what's technology got to do with it? I find myself answering the same questions over and over and over again, kind of asking me to justify why I'm using twiddling knobs and not writing for string quartets. So those questions, thankfully, have gone away, and the courses are there, and there's so many talented younger people coming through now. So I think that's the biggest positive change. It's now integrated into our musical thought patterns, deservedly.
Listening to your works, I'm struck by the different compositional personas that you've had over the years. And when you look back at your work, do you see everything you've done as fitting into distinct phases in your work, or is there an interconnection between, you know, the works you've composed over, say, the last 30 years?
Yeah, so in looking back, maybe I can see sort of 10-year waves or phases, kind of. Loosely speaking, in my 20s, I was finding my feet, working as a somebody who used the tape recorder as a musical instrument, and I did some pieces in my 20s which I thought were incredibly important and serious pieces, and I even was determined to have, in quotations, a masterpiece before the age of 30, which is what I set myself to do. And once I became 30 and finished this big masterpiece called the Rapid Eye Movements, I started doing pop music during most of my 30s. With operating theatre, and so I began Babel when I was 40. So that was a return. Well, that was a kind of integrating pop music and the more abstract side of electronic music. So in my 50s, what did I do? I don't know. In my 50s, there was the Passade series and the Cinema for the Year. Those two, I guess. 3 hours of Passades and an hour and a half of Cinema for the Year. I don't know.
And I suppose the question is, leads quite nicely onto what do you think the next 10 years holds for Roger Doyle? I mean, are there any unfulfilled ambitions that you want to do? Any pieces you want to write?
Yeah, there's one. One thing I'd like to do, and that's a kind of almost like a private piece of composition. I want to do a piece which has a unique structure in that it never arrives, it never gets to where it's going. A piece of constant mystery, of music with gaps, With silence as then an event, and then silence an event. This piece would have no beginning, middle, or end. It would just be. It would just exist like the ocean, without a history. That would be a kind of. But that piece, it wouldn't work in a concert. It wouldn't work on CD. I don't know where it would work. And I imagine this. Who knows whether these things happen? You don't really. Things don't turn out as you plan. But I do plan, kind of. To do a long piece which is full of mystery and never arrives anywhere. And I would probably just do that privately.
So no one would hear it?
Well, they would at some point. I don't know what environment it would work in.
An
installation maybe. Maybe, yeah, but yeah.
Perhaps our courtyard?
It could be, but it would be an all-day thing. You'd sit there all day and it would never... have any resolution. It'd be like this thing in 2001, this block of black material that's found on the surface of the moon and makes this whistling sound. It, just a big mystery. I love the idea of mystery, like in like the pyramids and in the Tower of Babel, for instance. What exactly is going on? And you know, you're given snippets of information, but there's loads of information missing too. It'd be like pottery fragments from 3,000 years ago in music.
I'm intrigued. I don't know how to follow that up, really. I think we leave it there. So, Roger, thanks very much.